You see, for Christmas, what the Lord gave us, his gift, was a baby. And this baby was the Savior of the world. Why? Because he knew what we needed, and we needed a Savior. But how could a baby be a Savior? He was born as the King, the promised King who would take away all the sin of the world, destroy our warfare with God so that we can be reconciled with God. And then with that reconciliation, man could be reconciled to man again and reconciled to the earth. You see, Christmas is a time of peace and joy, so that the shepherds announced, or they were announced to by the angels, that God was sending a Savior. This was a time of great joy, and that there would be peace on earth and God's goodwill towards men. So there was a time of joy and peace. And why? Because this is the will of God. It's always been his will that man would live in joy and peace. He created this wonderful, amazing world and all of the cosmos. He created it and filled it with living things. He separated the land from the sea and filled the sea with living things. He filled the land with living things and the air with flying creatures. And all of them praised the Lord for life, because God was generous and good, and he gave them life to enjoy. And all of them in their living give praise to God for his marvelous intellect, his wonder. As we discover these things with science, we're amazed how intricate all of these animals and creatures are. Even the smallest creatures are complicated, and the big ones. And some are so large, we're still amazed by them, like the blue whale. People go out in boats just to see whales. Can you imagine a time when animals and humans were living in peace? And that's how God created it. It was originally a paradise, so that no animals fought with one another. They didn't kill and eat each other. They were at peace. They all ate vegetation, and even the vegetation was at peace. The plants were happy to produce what they did. There was no poisonous plants, no thorns, no thistles. No, the plants gave of their bounty, and all of the creatures ate from them. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move on the earth." And so God created man to rule and lead these animals. Can you imagine that? It says in Isaiah 11 that a little child will lead the bear and the lion. Come on, come, come, come. And they obey. We dream of things like this. People go out to swim with whales. Some even swim with sharks. By the way, that promise hasn't taken place yet, so I don't suggest swimming with sharks. But we're told that it will happen again. The paradise that was lost will be regained. Can you imagine all of these things, living in peace, riding on the back of a lion or a T-Rex? That would be fun in the new kingdom, not now. But it got lost. That peace was lost. That joy was lost. The world was at war. Not just man with God, man with man, nation against nation, family against family, spouse against spouse, child against parent, siblings against siblings. But also the animal world was at war with one another. Even the plants became defensive, and some became offensive. There are plants that eat animals. This is part of the curse. God cursed the earth so that man would seek him, because the most important thing is that people regain their relationship with their Creator. And then they can regain their relationship with one another, and then they can regain the relationship with nature. It's in that order. People feel this longing to be reunited with nature and with one another. And some people feel the longing to be reunited with God. In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul says, all of creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, God, in hope that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay, that creation itself will be liberated, brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And so creation is waiting to be released from this bondage. That's why in the play, the animals are expecting the birth of this Savior who will save the earth from sin. And they themselves will be reunited in that peaceful kingdom that God created them to be in. And so the animals sometimes are smarter than humans because they know they want to be right with their Creator. Well, we see Isaiah, some of the verses we're familiar with out of chapter 7, verse 14. He promises this Savior. He says, behold, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin will be with child, and she will bear a son, and his name will be called Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. And then in chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, Isaiah says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. These are not titles for a normal human being. This is God coming to us, Emmanuel. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will do this. And then the passage that Tyron read out of Isaiah 11. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. They understood, and this is 300 years after the time of David, but the son of David was to be the Messiah. And they understood this 700 years before Christ. And the Spirit of the Lord would be on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. He will delight in the Lord. He will not judge by his eyes or by what he hears, but he will judge by righteousness, and he will get rid of wickedness. But look what happens. Look what Isaiah says when his kingdom comes in fullness. The name of this message is Come King, Come Kingdom. When we pray to our Father in heaven, and we say, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. When his will is done, his kingdom comes. And when his kingdom is here, his will is done. It's here in part. Some people know the king has come and they've given themselves to him, but most of the world doesn't know. Think of this. When the angels came, all of heaven knew what happened. But only a few people on earth knew what happened. God himself came into the human realm, born as a baby. And today, there are some people who know that. But there are a whole lot of people who don't know that. Maybe they've heard the story, but they don't believe it. But God, wake up the hearts and minds of people, please, so that people can believe this story. But when he comes in fullness, paradise will be restored. Eden will come, and actually Eden will be improved because Eden will be inside God's house. Righteousness will be a belt around him, and faithfulness the sash on his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling will be together, and a little child will lead them. This is returning back to Eden. This is peace on all of the earth, among men and also among the animals. A cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. The young bear and the young cow will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. At when God first created the animals, they all ate vegetation. They were all herbivores. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra. Now, that means more to me now because two of my grandchildren live in a land where there's cobras nearby. One was a couple houses away and one was in their school. Happily, there's people that know how to move them about. But the infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child will put his hand on the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. How full? As full as the waters cover the sea. Do we have that now? Do we have the earth full of the knowledge of the Lord? No. There are many people who don't know who the Lord is. It seems all the animals do, because they obey his will. But the moral creatures that he created, the ones who are the highest of all his creation, men and angels, there are many who don't know the Lord. Well, the angels do. The ones who fell became demons. But humans, this is where the contest is. It's all about people coming to know who the Lord is and yielding their life to him. Many people live and die and they don't know the story of creation. They don't know the story of Christmas. That on Christmas, God made good the first half of his promise. He sent the Savior, born of human ancestry, born of the line of David, to inherit the throne. But he didn't come as a conquering king. He came as a suffering Savior. He died on the cross to take away our sins so that we could be reconciled to God. If we look at the first three books, or first three chapters of the Bible and the last three chapters, there's an amazing connection. What was lost was regained. And through Satan's deception, Christ's victory destroyed the works of the devil. In the third chapter of Genesis, Satan enters and paradise is lost. In the third last chapter of Revelation, Satan is bound and cast into the lake of fire. And then chapters 21 and 22 of Revelation are the new heaven and the new earth. Let me read from the last chapter, 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. Down the middle of the street of the city, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. Now the curse is removed. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face. We can't see his face now. It's not that he can't be seen, it's that we can't stand to see it. But when we're changed and made holy, we'll be able to see it. But now, we would be destroyed. They will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. These people belong to God. He created them, but he also bought them with his blood. They're his. And then the Lord Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming soon." And this word soon in the Greek means soon or quickly. It's the word we get the word tachometer from, tachos. Tachos means soon or quickly. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they might have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Who are they saying come to? They're saying it to two parties. One, they're saying, Lord Jesus, come. Lord Jesus, come. We waited for you the first time to come as the suffering servant. Now we're waiting for you the second time to come as the conquering king. Come, Lord Jesus. But it's not just to the Lord Jesus they're saying come. They're also saying come to the one who would be a member of his kingdom. Whoever is thirsty, Whoever needs to drink from the water of life, come. Whoever wishes, let him take from the free gift of the water of life. This is your invitation. The end of the Bible ends with an invitation. Come. Even as the Lord Jesus is coming, you come and join his kingdom before he comes. When he comes, he will divide the world in two. Those who are in his kingdom, his followers who have trusted him, and those who are not. And those who are not, he will come and punish. And so, this is an invitation. Come, join the king. Be part of his kingdom. Trust him. Trust his death on the cross to take away all of your sin so that you can be reconciled to God. Trust him that he is good and his will for you is to give you a good life. Not to ruin your life, but to give you a life full of peace and joy so that you have peace with God, you have peace with other people, and you can even have peace with the animals. Because he will do that again. Again, he said, yes, I'm coming soon. And again, this can mean quickly. Here's a perfect example. Do you know the story of Joseph, the son of Jacob, in the Bible? At age 17, he was sold as a slave. And he went from slave to prison. He suffered until age 30. How would you like to go from age 17 to age 30 as a slave and a prisoner? Wouldn't that seem like your whole life? Does it seem? And he was praying the whole time, God, rescue me, God, rescue me. It took a long time for God to rescue him. But in one day, he went from the prison to the palace, and from a prisoner to the prime minister in one day. And so his rescue was quick. It just took a long time for it to happen. Why is the Lord being slow? He's being patient that more people would repent and believe in him. But when he comes, he's going to come quickly. And if you haven't decided by then, you won't have time. It will be as lightning going across the sky. That will be the coming of Christ. If someone said, oh, Christ is here, he's over in Ohio. Don't believe him. He would come to Michigan. No, you don't. When he comes, the whole world will know it. So he'll come quickly, and the door of salvation will close, just as the door of the ark was closed. And so Christmas is a time of celebrating the fact that God has sent a Savior, but he sent a child, and it takes time for the child to grow up and become the king. Jesus came, and many people didn't know he was the king. Even his followers didn't know until after he was raised from the dead. The king will come back, so be in his kingdom. The Spirit and the bride is the church. The Spirit and the bride are calling people, come, come, come. Come to Jesus before he comes to the earth. And then you, when you come, you will join in saying, come, Lord Jesus. I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this, the wonderful fact that you sent us a Savior. Because we needed a Savior. He took our sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. He died on the cross. He was buried. Our sins were buried with him. He came alive, and now we're alive in Christ. Thank you so much for that. And we pray for everyone here that they would realize that the Spirit is saying to them, come. Come, put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be those who are calling Jesus to come because you know he is your Lord and Savior and he's coming again. Join that group. Lord Jesus, speak to every heart. You've come to give us peace and joy, the joy of being reunited with you and waiting for one day when we, even the whole earth, will be at peace. Thank you for that. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for all these people. Thank you for a time of families being together. You created families. You meant for there to be joy within families. And yet in many families, there's strife. Lord, show people that you want them to be at peace with you, with one another, and with the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Let's stand and sing Joy.